Total Tuscany Podcast, number 35. Ciao and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined once again by the co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Travis, how are you?
Very good.
Have you recovered?
Well, and I was going to say, if we sound a little tired in our voice, it's because we have just gotten back from Florence in a week-long trek to Tuscany. And what a fabulous trip it really was. But we are reminded each time we go, jet lag is not a good thing on the body.
It's such a long, long way. And now we're back to our real jobs, our day-to-day jobs, and it does take a while to recover.
And the good thing is we're back to our day-to-day jobs, but we are also starting to plan our next trip to Tuscany. But real quickly, we want to bring everybody up to date. We spent a week in Florence. We got to go out to the hill towns for a day, but it was a different trip. But it was interesting because we got to meet a lot of the people we've interviewed on the Total Tuscany Podcast, from Georgette Jupe, who's writes the blog The Girl in Florence, from the good folks at the staff at Visit Tuscany, to Anna Maria Mondofferi, who runs Cool Tours by Anna. There were so many, the good folks at Florence Town Tours, and we have nothing but good things to say about Florence Town Tours. We were going to do an entire podcast on our trip to Florence, but we thought we would just kind of tease you a little bit and let you know that we're going to be adding in the near future a new section to the website, which will feature a lot of the things that we did on our trip. So we shot an extensive amount of video. We'll be producing some videos on what we did, on the people we visited, and we hopefully will give you some inspiration and some direction on what to do when you make your Tuscan vacation.
And I think we can say without a doubt, everybody that we visited with exceeded every expectation we had. They're amazing people. We took our wives. We had a great time. Our wives had a great time. We are lucky that we have been interviewing the best people possible.
You know, I can without hesitation and with full confidence say that anybody that we talk to on this podcast, we can fully recommend. And as we move forward in the months to come, look for Pat and I to offer some travel consulting services for you. If you're getting ready to plan your trip and you don't want to use a travel agent, which I don't think you need to use a travel agent, but you want to sit down and talk with somebody for a half hour, 45 minutes or an hour and get some ideas on what to do in Tuscany, Pat and I are going to be offering that service. So be on the lookout for that. And then maybe in the near future, you might even be able to go to Tuscany with Pat and myself as we start planning a nice tour, maybe for 2016, where we can go with us. So just look for that stuff to come. Of course, you can always find us on the social media channels. You can follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany, on Facebook at Total Tuscany, and brand new, we just opened it up. You may not even know this, Pat. We have an Instagram page
now. I do know this.
We have an Instagram page. Just search Total Tuscany and start following us on Instagram. One of the great things about when we do go to Italy, it brings Pat back home. He feels at home because he does have the last name Capagna, which is Italian. And is it your grandmother?
So my paternal grandmother was born in Italy, and she was, so yes, I'm 100% Italian. And you know what? Because of that, I'm excited about this next guest.
Well, Mary Tedesco, and you may have heard of Mary because she is part of the PBS TV series Genealogy Roadshow, and she was on season 2, and she is a genealogist. She can help you find your ancestry and your bloodlines and your history in Italy. Now, she can go anywhere, but she really specializes in families and people that have the Italian roots. Her website is originsitaly.com, and Mary Tedesco joins us today on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Mary, I have to ask you, how in the world does one get into genealogy?
That is an excellent question. Now, I have to ask you a question. Do you mean as a hobbyist or as a professional?
I guess, does it start as a hobby, then move on to a professional?
Travis, I think for many, it really does. And for me, it certainly did. A coworker of mine just lent me a login to a genealogy website and said, hey, you can search for your grandparents' passenger list online. And that was just basically the start of it. And obviously, there were many other records after that, many letters to and from Italy, many trips to Italy subsequent to that, and it just kind of snowballed from there. Obviously, Italian genealogy is my specialty, but I do any kind of genealogy under the sun.
So when did it become a profession for you, Mary?
It became a profession, I want to say, now we're in 2015, I would say about 4 years ago, but I had been doing it since 2006. So I had a lot of exposure to a lot of different record groups. In 2011, I also took the genealogy research certificate program at Boston University, which really prepared me to delve into the career as a professional genealogist and, you know, really hone my skills. And of course, like in any profession, there's continuous education. So I didn't stop with the BU program. You know, I continue to attend conferences and so forth, something that, you know, I'll probably do for the rest of my life, which is just a fantastic opportunity.
With all the commercials with Ancestry.com and all that stuff, I think genealogy is gaining in popularity. You know, my wife has done Ancestry.com, and then she kind of lost interest in it, went to the Mormon site and got a lot more information because it was free. But what's the advantage of hiring somebody like you to find their true roots?
Well, at Origins Italy, we specialize in finding the records that are not available online from the United States or in, you know, whatever country you happen to be located in. Many of these records that we research are records that are only found in Italy. Like the only copy is going to be sitting in a 1,500-year-old church somewhere. Just as an example, these records are incredibly special. They're a piece of the history of each town in Italy because that's the story of the people. So these records that we find for Origins Italy clients, you can't find these anywhere else but right in Italy oftentimes.
So these are, I'm guessing these are baptismal records, marriage certificates, that type of thing?
Correct. So the records, as you mentioned, the LDS site, the Mormon website, FamilySearch.org. So we often start with the microfilms and digital images that are available through FamilySearch. And then from there, as you mentioned, we would go to Italy, should the records not be available through on microfilm, to research on-site the church records. And then depending on a client's curiosity level, quite frankly, we can delve into notary records, military records, school records, cemetery records, you name it, and it exists, we can delve into that in Italy.
You know, I'm what I call a mutt, and that is I don't really know where I come from, but I don't think I have any Italian blood in me whatsoever. Do you have people who don't even know where to start and want to be Italian, and you have to go back to them and say, I can't find anything?
Oh, absolutely. Believe it or not, that email comes across my desk. You know, I would say not terribly frequently, but I probably received, you know, 4 or 5 emails in the last year to saying exactly what you're saying to me now. I would recommend a couple of things to people. So if they'd like to get started on their own, you can either, you know, start online or whatever and start tracing your family tree. And obviously, there's some things if you happen to see on a passenger list or so forth that this ancestor is from Italy, obviously, you've hit the Italian jackpot, you have Italian DNA. The other route is to take a DNA test. So because the sample sizes, you know, in some of the companies for Italian Americans and those of Italian descent is relatively small at this point, it's growing. It may not give all the indications of Italian descent, but again, it's a good option for folks that may not have the time or, you know, maybe not the resources to hire a professional so they can take a DNA test for what, you know, $99, $79, whatever it happens to be.
So my family tree on Ancestry.com says I'm like French, but a psychic once told me I lived my 8 previous lives in Italy. Is can you research that by chance? My reincarnation?
Well, I guess not unless you found another psychic. So, but that's a very interesting point, and that also does come up occasionally. And I would encourage folks to consult whomever and whatever they feel most comfortable consulting.
What was the most interesting, or not necessarily the oldest record you found, but maybe one of the more interesting searches that you went about conducting that you didn't really expect to find?
Well, one of our clients from this last research trip, we found a very interesting case, and obviously I'm not going to reveal too many details to maintain the confidentiality of the client, but the gentleman, the ancestor that we were researching, he had records in four different parishes and four different Italian towns right in the same area, which was just a fascinating and very compelling case to research. But also the time-consuming part is, you know, maybe we'd be at four churches in one day trying to track, well, a kid was baptized here, another one was here, and, oh, you know, he got married here in another church. So it was really fascinating to kind of recreate the migration patterns just within a small geographical area of this family. It was, you know, completely fascinating, and a story that, you know, I think the family is curious about and they may delve more into in the future.
Has there been any artifact or any piece of information you were like, just totally just impressed you, like, I just got this piece of information that was really cool and historic?
Well, I'll give an example from my own family tree, and I don't know about historic, but definitely personally significant. One of the huge things that, you know, questions, I guess you could say, the huge questions that my grandfather had and, you know, his siblings had was, what was the name of our grandmother? Because my great-grandmother was born out of wedlock, and when that's the case, they don't list any parents. This is not 100% of the cases, but in this case, they didn't list any parents for her. So they said, well, we just want to know who her mother was, you know, like, who was our grandmother? So I was digging through a diocesan archives with the help of an archivist in Calabria. And, you know, after I don't know how many days we were there, a significant amount of days, we were able to find a marital dispensation, which means that you needed permission from the cardinal to get married for whatever reason. There are, you know, a host of reasons. So on this particular document, it stated that the parents were actually second cousins, and therefore they needed a dispensation. On the record was a little family tree, and it had the name of her mother and how she was connected to, you know, the second cousin degree to her husband. So there was this name that was there that our family had wanted to know for, you know, I don't know, 80 years, or been curious about for 80 years. And there it was sitting in an archive in a box in Calabria, just waiting for us to go and discover it. That's probably personally one of the coolest things that I've ever found.
Pat's last name is Capagna. He always likes to brag to me that he's Sicilian. He throws it in my face that he's Italian. And so we have this, every time we go to Italy, we have this back and forth, because he'll say that he's a native. And I tell him he's from Sicily, so he's not really Italian. But anyway, I keep telling him he should get citizenship or dual citizenship. Is that a good thing? Is that something he should do? As he's looking at me right now going, you're speaking for me. But
yeah. Well, I'm actually an Italian dual citizen, so I'm speaking from a somewhat biased perspective. But in my experience, it's been fantastic. And basically, to, you know, just give you the primer on Italian dual citizenship, is you have to find an unbroken line back to Italian citizenship. That means, so who came over to America, Pat? Let's use you as a perfect example.
So on my father's side, his mother was born in Sicily.
Okay.
His father was born in the U.S., so he was second generation on one side and first on the other.
Okay. So if that is the case, we would usually go with the closest immigrant and then work our way back to see if we find the connection. So your grandmother, right?
Right.
Okay. So say, well, there are a lot of variables here, but, you know, just say, without taking into account some of the laws, she had your father. She was an Italian citizen, you know, and then she could have been naturalized later, but, you know, we won't get into that. So she was an Italian citizen. She had your dad. We'll assume he was born after 1948, because that's part of the law. And then your dad had you. And in that line, nobody renounced their Italian citizenship. So therefore, you would qualify through Italian dual citizenship to that line. Your dad was born before 1948. You got to find another line. And then in the mail line,
How come is that?
Well, there was a law passed in 1948, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but regarding citizenship being passed through the mother, so to speak. Again, for the specifics, they're on the consulate website. So it was basically, you cannot pass the citizenship through a maternal line unless the person was born after 1948.
Now he's bummed out because
my father was born before 48.
But was his father a citizen or not a citizen of the United States at that time.
Yeah, so his father would have been a citizen, having been born here. His father would have been a first generation.
Okay, you can still go back another generation, though.
Okay.
So you might still be okay.
This is fascinating.
So how long does that process take, and what's the cost in something like that?
Well, for cost, people can, you know, obviously email me directly, because it really depends on the case and how far back we need to go to link up to the immigrant. So for somebody who's, you know, has a parent who was born in Italy, and we know exactly where the parent was born, it's a lot less documentation and, frankly, you know, an easier process on all accounts. If we're going back to, say, for example, a great-grandparent, and the person doesn't know where in Italy this person was born, the process can obviously be slightly more involved, because we not only have to acquire all of the necessary documentation, we also need to figure out where in Italy that person came from. So there's a huge range of both time and cost. It's difficult to put your finger on, because every case is different.
So Mary, how has establishing dual citizenship been so wonderful for you? What's that look like?
It's wonderful for me, besides the fact that we can go in the short line through Italian customs, which is really great. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit easier to conduct business over there. I found, because I conduct business over there quite frequently, and then I just give them my Italian passport when they're asking for il documento. So I found that the logistics of the business over there tend to be just a little bit easier. And I also, you know, hold a lot of pride with both my American passport and my Italian passport of my background and my origins.
See, Pat, now go through with it.
Let's go.
Let's see. You got to pull the trigger, because if we're going to do business over there, we need somebody with an Italian passport. So
it doesn't hurt.
And you can buy land then, right? It'd probably be easier to buy land, easier to buy a lot of things over there, wouldn't it?
I would imagine so, yeah.
So, Mary, what is it about Italy? I mean, Pat's from Italy, but why are so many people, even if they're not Italian, so in love with this country? We fell in love with it 6 years ago, the first time we went there, and now we find ourselves going back. In fact, we just got back from Florence a week ago. What is it about Italy that attracts so many people?
Well, I'd say the country is its greatest selling point. It's an absolutely beautiful country. There are vistas and seasides and mountains and skiing and, you know, other activities. I mean, there's something in Italy for everybody. Whether you're way up in the Alps or down in Sicily or in Calabria and Puglia, there's really something for everybody. Whether you like big city or small town, you know, you can really find a place that you feel comfortable. Anybody can.
Is there any place particularly you like to go when you go? Let's say you're not going for work. When you just go to relax, when you go to unwind, where do you like to go?
Well, there are two spots, and both of them contain relatives, of course. The first one is Rome, where my closest cousins live, the Tedesco cousins. And the other one is my grandfather's town, the town where he was born, which is San Pietro Maida in Calabria. There's a lot of nostalgia that goes along with visiting that town and seeing my grandfather's house, and just the people there have been just so warm and amazing to me. Two people in particular, who I call my second parents, Angela and Romano, they've really adopted me, you know, in the emotional sense, as their fourth child. So, you know, I'm so lucky to have a second set of parents there just to really embrace me. And the two of them and their family have really made the experience and made it such a special place.
Mary, did you grow up speaking Italian in the home, or did you have to go back and learn formal Italian to take care of the genealogy?
That's a question that comes up all the time also. So Italian is, in every sense, my second language. So my dad grew up in a household with two parents from Italy, but he doesn't speak Italian. They did not, you know, after World War II, speak Italian with their children and teach their children Italian. So when I was 16, we went to Italy for the first time with my parents, my sister, and my grandmother, and I met my Italian cousins. And I was really inspired after that to go out and learn Italian. And a few years later, I was in college. I took, you know, almost every Italian class they had. I studied abroad in Italy. And that's really, you know, the cornerstone of my Italian linguistic development. I knew that I needed to speak the language. If not for myself, for my grandparents and for the cousins over there that I wanted to have, you know, a strong relationship with.
So total immersion was the best way to do it.
Total immersion is amazing. And, you know, as we all know, language is, you know, a process. So every time I go back to Italy, you know, of course I do speak Italian, but my Italian gets better every time I go to Italy. And, you know, I see that process going on for the rest of my life. You know, each of us could always be better at a language, even if it's English. So, you know, I see that as a process that will continue forever.
You know, the funny thing is, and we don't speak the language, neither one of us do. I mean, we know bits and parts, but we found this time, as we keep going back more frequently, we can read things a lot easier and we can understand things a lot easier. Even though we can't speak it, we can understand things. And I think that's just from going back and back and back.
Correct. Full immersion, you know, there are a million ways to learn Italian, but full immersion will always be the classic, let's just say. You know, there are a lot of linguistic language opportunities out there for learning Italian. I would encourage, you know, people to pick up whatever will work for them. And if they have the opportunity to pursue full immersion, you won't regret it. Never.
Mary, tell us about the Genealogy Roadshow. How did that come about?
Well, Genealogy Roadshow is a PBS TV series, and I appeared as one of three hosts who was featured on season two. And Genealogy Roadshow really captures the best of America, meaning America's diverse cultural history. And we even had a couple of Italian-American stories in season two, along with a segment that was filmed in Italy, which I host that particular segment, talking about Italian genealogy. So there's really something in the show for everybody. There's a piece of something that you can relate to regardless of your ethnic group. And that really makes the show for me. And that's the, you know, the most special thing to me about, you know, watching the show and presenting on this show.
Now, will there be a season three?
Well, PBS has not made a decision regarding season three, so I would encourage folks to stay tuned to the Genealogy Roadshow social media, where any upcoming announcements will be posted.
Mary, why is it important, and before we let you go, why is it important for people to find more about their family history? Because I know a lot of people that say, I don't need to know where I came from. I'm American. And I'm like, I go, you don't get what... I have this debate all the time with people. It's so important where you came from. If you were to hear that line, what would you tell them?
Well, of course, part of that is, you know, personal preference and interest, but our heritage, our background, no matter what it is, Italian American or anything else, is a piece of who each of us are. And to me, that is so special, you know, regardless of, you know, what percentage of Italian or Irish or German or Chinese or whatever else you may be, that's a special piece of who you are. And it's part of our identity, whether we focus on it or not. So the folks that choose to, you know, pursue their genealogy and research their family history, there's a lot of special things and maybe some surprises in store for them.
Mary Tedesco has been our guest of the Total Tuscany podcast. You can check out our website, originsitaly.com. Lots of information on there. There's actually a lecture section. Do you go around and do a lot of lectures? Do you find yourself lecturing quite a bit?
Lecturing, yes. I would say not terribly frequently these days because there are a lot of other commitments, but certainly more in the blogging realm. I've started up a new mailing list so folks can sign up to receive all the new blog posts, appearances, and updates and so forth. So there's always an educational component involved, whether it's actual lectures in a location or via the website in education.
Mary, you've been absolutely fabulous. And let's get Pat a citizenship. Let's work on that, should we?
That sounds fantastic.
It's fun talking to you, Mary.
Mary, thanks so much, and let's talk again soon.
Thank you both. I appreciate it.
All right, Pat, get to it. You have to get your citizenship. I want you to become a dual citizen. I want to live vicariously through you because I have no Italian blood in me whatsoever.
Well, you don't know that. Maybe you should check with Mary and find out.
Yeah, but she'd find out that I'm like English and Scottish and French. That's what Ancestry.com and the Mormon website tells me.
Well, we need to get motivated. I need to do that. And I tell you what, Mary has a fantastic profession. What better profession to have? have something here in the States and then be able to roam over Italy and examine these records in the churches. It's really kind of a fascinating story.
Again, Mary's a fabulous personality. Crossing our fingers and hoping that the PBS TV series Genealogy Roadshow comes back for a season three. You can find her on season two, but you can also find her every single day on her website, originsitaly.com. The link is right here on totaltuscany.com. Check it out because she's got some fabulous information. And if you are looking for your Italian roots, if you're looking for your Italian family, you can find it by just, you know, give Mary a call. She'll be more than happy to take your call. She'll be very helpful and point you in the right direction and try to help you find what you want to find.
Take it from two people that just came back. You can't do this on your own.
It's very, very difficult to do it on your own. But we do want you to follow Total Tuscany on a regular basis, and that is always listen to the Total Tuscany podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us on our social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, and now Instagram. Thanks for listening to today's Total Tuscany podcast. Tell a friend about it. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Remember, try and live each and every day like you're in Tuscany.